How many have ever been afraid of anything? How many are just absolutely never been afraid? As I came in this morning and yesterday morning, and the Lord just began to talk to me about fear. Not fearing. Just fear. How many's ever had a bad report? How many, no matter what you think or what you feel or what you're going through, about the middle of the night, about 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, that thing just builds and builds and builds and builds. Daylight comes and it's better. The Bible says something that sorrow endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, yesterday as I was praying and before my phone started ringing, put a little thing on Facebook about fear. This morning I came in and the Lord had been leading me back into the book of Isaiah, especially chapters 40 through 60. And we're going to get to grace in just a moment. But chapter 43 and verse 1 of Isaiah, you need to look at this. The one thing to always remember, and I've been there now, I'm talking from just a few weeks' experience of waking up in the middle of the night and my mind is spinning. The doctor says, doctor actually looked at me as I was in, and I haven't told very many people this, as I was in the clinic and said, you could die on the way home. I thought, just what I wanted to hear. That's amazing. I told Judy that and she said, oh, I just don't worry about it. No, I'm joking. No, she said, is your insurance paid up? But when you hear something, what do I do with that? How do I handle that? But I like what I read this morning. I just want to share with you. Because no matter what you're going through, God is always with you. He's not walking 40 feet behind you. He's ahead of you. He's in you. He's walking with you. And you can forget about God at times, and you can think, well, I got to take this on all by myself. I'm out here alone. Never alone. Never alone. Never facing any obstacle or situation alone. What happens in my life is sometimes I'm not thinking about God is doing it for me and with me and walking through it. And I think, how do I get through this? And God never designed it with the plan in mind that we'd get through it, but that he'd lead us through it. Amen? So I read this morning and I'm thinking, wow. Very timely. Verse 1. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. God made us. Say, God made me.
God made me.
So he knows about you, right?
Yes.
He designed you. He gave you purpose. He gave you a plan. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Understand something. If the doctor would have been right and I would have died on the way home, what's the big deal? You've thought that for a long time. What's the big deal? Just another funeral to go, another hot dish to eat. I hope I get hot dish. No. And you say, Pastor, you're making jokes of it. No, but let's be real. We get so serious about everything, and I do. I'm telling you that. We get so serious that there are times that stress and that weight is doing exactly to us what we're trying to fight against. Everybody wants to live, amen? We all want to go to heaven, we just don't want to die to get there. And so God says, fear not, for I redeemed you. You're mine. I own you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. There he says it. Now listen to this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When the creek is rising above what you can stand, God says, I'm going to take you through it. When the problems, the issues, the things are just rising and rising and rising and rising and rising, God says, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
You can do better than that.
Amen.
When you walk through the fire, when you walk through the fire, wow. Anybody been in the fire? You know, how do we know this is really true? When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Because we have three Hebrew children who went through it. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who they threw into the fire and they walked around with Jesus Christ. I believe the fourth was like the man, says the Son of God. And they survived. What fire are you going through? Now there's one thing when you're in the fire, you're either adding kindling or you're putting it out. By your attitude, by your mind, and what you're going through, are you building a bigger fire? Or by your mind and your attitude, are you putting it out? Are you keeping the oxygen from it? You're a little bit livelier than last week, but all of a sudden you just went into a shell. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to bed at night anytime fearing what's going to happen in that night or the next morning. Amen? Therefore, we come and we say,
you know that scripture, love casts out fear?
Perfect love casts out all fear?
Yeah, and now I understand it. The love for the Lord casts
yeah.
out fear.
And that is absolutely connected. And this is for somebody here. When you stand before God, there's no fear. Because we experience His love and fear is gone. Because at that moment you experience, and the moments we live in now, you experience that perfect love of God. Now the grace of God appears to us. For by grace ye are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God has such great compassion for His people. What tore open the heart of God was that people were living dominated by the devil, with no way to escape it. And so they offered sacrifices that covered the sin that couldn't remove it. So God's grace came. His compassion, is grace is deeper than mercy. And he absolutely, and we don't like this term, he pitied us. He pitied us. And that grace and that mercy and that compassion and that pity moved him to do something. Because it was only by a righteous man could salvation come. If Jesus would have sinned, he couldn't have died for us. If Jesus would have been born into sin, he couldn't have died for us. That's why he was born of a virgin. But go back with me to Titus. I want to spend a few moments here. When we get done, somebody remind me we didn't take an offering yet, okay? It's good to have you sitting here, Stephen. That's your job for the day. The grace of God that brings salvation in verse 11 has appeared to all men. Grace is open to anyone who wants to jump on the bandwagon. I believe personally that grace is God's empowering presence that enables us to be what he's called us to be and to do what he's called us to do. So God looked down, saw a man in a hopeless condition, sent his son, and through that mercy, compassion, grace, all that whole connection, he gave us the divine ability to be exactly what he wants us to be and live the life that he's designed for us. Grace is not an entitlement to sin. It's an empowerment to walk with God. It's a divine ability to overcome the things that Satan throws at us. And so what is Paul saying here? He's saying grace teaches you a lesson. Grace teaches you a lesson. There's a lot and a lot and a lot of teaching. You'll never lose your salvation. I agree with that. We don't lose it. We forfeit it. We give it up. We begin to live any way we wanted to. And there are people doing that. When someone really experienced the grace of God, they have to make a decision, and that decision is not a legalistic decision, because anytime you talk about something that is not right in the line of some people teaching, they say, well, you're going legalistic. No, I'm not. I'm going biblical. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at Philippians chapter 1. I love this verse. He says this in verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, but you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I've gone through what I'm preaching. I've analyzed it. I've searched it. I went through scripture after scripture after scripture. And here's what I believe. I believe that because of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's plan and God's design and God's purpose, that every single believer should desire to walk before God, led by the Holy Spirit and keeping focused on Him, not the lusts of my flesh. God did not send his son so that we could go back where we were before. God designed his son to break the power of sin, the lusts of the flesh, and the desires that come from not having a relationship with God. And we begin to walk that out. And you may look, and I've had people look me in the eye and say, but you've got to realize I'm human. God isn't. Paul looked to what God was telling him when he was going through the thorn in the flesh. And here's what Paul heard from God. Hear this now. God told Paul, but my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Let me ask you just a simple question. And I wouldn't preach this if I didn't love you. How can I glorify God by living a lifestyle that reflects Satan? How many of your purpose is to glorify God? How many just want to glorify God? If that's your purpose, the way I do it is through my lifestyle. I do not glorify God by glorifying Satan. I do not glorify God by glorifying sin. I glorify God by being led by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, understand this, the Holy Spirit always leads you to Jesus. I was in this conversation a few weeks ago. And somebody looked at me and said, hey, Pastor, don't you realize you sin every day? I said, no, I don't. He said, what do you mean? You think you're perfect? I said, no. Sin becomes a choice. I don't have to sin every day. Neither do you. My life is not about sin. It's about God's grace. How many of you, give me a response this time. Don't just shake your head and say, yeah, Pastor's on another tangent. How many of you can live 1 minute without sinning? How many can you? How many can live 2 minutes? How many can live 3 minutes? How many of you can live an hour? How many can live 2 hours? Well, what about 24 hours? You see, God doesn't want us to magnify sin. He wants us to magnify his grace. And I know one thing. When I'm sleeping at night, I'm not sinning. If you do, we'll take care of it. You see, the thing that Christians do, we get all magnified about being human, and being human, I must sin, and because I'm sinning, I'm a failure, and because I'm a failure, I'm this, and I'm... It's not what the issue is. The Bible tells us, and I'm done. I got to be done. I got to get up and get on the platform, I guess. Seeing that we are encircled or encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses in Romans 12, Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Fear. You no more have to live in sin than you do in fear. Amen?
Amen.
You no more have to live in sin than you have to live in insecurity. And God, hear me, is so radically in love with us that he broke the power of sin. Why do I want to go back to it? Why am I looking for a scapegoat? I want to deal honestly, and I want to deal scripturally with what God has blessed me with. Have I sinned since I've been a Christian? Yes. What did I do? I came to Jesus. I repented. Changing my mind. Don't want to do that no more. If we confess our sins, he's what? And to do what? And to cleanse us. John wrote that, and John wasn't writing to sinners. He's writing to the church. I want us free. I want us enjoying the relationship with Christ. I want us walking this life out in a life of holiness. Too many believers have this idea, I'm living in insecurity. If God gets mad at me, I'm going to hell. That's not an issue. It's not about security. Because we have security in Christ. The key is staying focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. And just because someone teaches opposite of what I teach doesn't mean they're a hypocrite or they're, you know, some weirdo. There's all different kinds of doctrines going around right now. What do? I take the one that I believe is prevalent in the Word of God. I'm not looking for one verse to change everything I believe. And I'm not believing that anything written after the Gospel of John was written to sinners. It was written to the church. Amen?
Amen.
I know you're all excited now to give an offering. Ushers, come, will you?